you want me to be. Perfect one. So easy to see why I push you away. Heaven inside my heart and hell in front of me. Oh, I walk the endless miles to where I need to be, and it's all the same. We're holding out for change.
Okay, hi everybody. This is Richard Sacks. I'm your host on Lost Arts Radio. And it's nice to be with you again. We have another session. Fortunately, we were able to get a session with both Dr. Rima Labo, MD, and Ralph Fusitola, JD, the co-trustees of Natural Solutions Foundation. And they're involved in other exciting things as well, which we'll talk about. But we're back to give another update for the recent conference that we gave with respect to the current pandemic situation, and talk about the virus and what's happening in the outside world in response to it, and what that actually means, and what is likely coming, what's been announced, and what can be surmised from things that have been talked about. It should be interesting, and we'll get as much as we can that would be useful to you and educational in this brief time that we've got. So welcome, Dr. Rima and Counsel Ralph. Nice to be with you again, and thanks for being here. I thought just because we probably have some listeners that haven't seen the first part, let's do a really brief recap of why we're talking about the situation at all, what's going on, and probably a little bit from both of you on that, and then we'll go forward.
Okay.
Great.
Ladies first.
We're talking about this because we are being suffused with false information, with misinformation, with disinformation, with dystopian predictions that serve to instill fear and terror and dread, and therefore willing compliance. Oh, save me from the pandemic, mixed with, nah, it's no worse than a flu. Oh, wait, it's worse than a flu. Oh, wait, it's going to kill everybody. Oh, wait, it's not going to kill everybody, to keep us maximally confused and create listener fatigue. So we say, oh, I don't know, it's too much for my little head. You want to inject me with gene-altering vaccines. You want to take away my liberties. You want to trace all my contacts. You want, okay, whatever. I just want to get back to work. That, I believe, in a nutshell, is precisely what is going on with this plandemic, which is completely in line with and completely predicted by not only the Bill and Melinda Gates sponsored projection on October 18th of exactly this, the animal-born virus out of Wuhan, China, sweeping the world, yada, yada, all predicted Johns Hopkins University, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation had a grand old time telling us exactly what was going to happen on October 18th and 19th. But not only that, we have a cabal, a conspiracy of government, of media, of medical disinformation. And I would like to point out 15 absurd, contradictory nonsenses of Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is said to be America's doctor. He sure as hell isn't my doctor, because I deal in facts and science, and he does not. And so we are being bemused and confused, distracted, misdirected, suppressed, and controlled for agendas that have nothing to do with health. And I want to say very briefly before I stop, Ralph and I are the co-trustees of the Natural Solutions Foundation. We have a special page called truthaboutcoronavirus.com. And among the many fact-based realities that we have written about and posted there is an analysis of this year's monthly death tolls across the United States and last year's monthly death tolls. And what we find is that, as Ralph predicted, there is no net increase in deaths. In fact, the deaths have gone down because there are a lot fewer traffic accidents, probably a lot fewer street violence incidents as well, but I'm not sure about that. We know about the traffic accidents. However, every death, including getting hit by a bus, is being pushed over into the COVID-19 column so that all kinds of deaths are being said to be COVID-19 deaths, when in fact they are deaths, but there is no net increase in deaths. And frankly, how can you have a pandemic with lots and lots of people dying who would not otherwise have died if even the wildly inflated numbers don't go up? We're talking about what comes out of the rear end of a herd of cattle, specifically the males. Is there a virus? Yeah, there's a virus. Was genetically engineered here in the United States and shipped to China in 2015, sold to China when gain-of-function research became illegal in the United States. And Dr. Anthony Fauci was the guy who oversaw that and funded the Wuhan laboratory to establish their bat colony and carry out this research. The rear end of male cattle is supplying us with what we're being exposed to.
Indeed. For those of you who haven't met us before, Dr. Rima Lebo is celebrating, or at least commemorating, the 50th year of her practice of medicine this year. She is licensed currently in both New York and Arizona. She and her husband, our dear friend and mentor and guardian from the other side now, General Bert Stubblebine, founded Natural Solutions Foundation in 2004. I became the third trustee of the foundation, and together the three of us have made a lot of trouble for the FDA and the public health authorities. We did manage to hold off the insanity of virus, vaccine, pandemic, destruction of your liberties once before in the 2009-2010 swine flu pandemic. And we find ourselves having to say the same things over again. Apparently, folks, you didn't learn the lesson then, and they thought they could get away with it this time. But they can't. And we're watching as more and more people wake up, as large numbers of people show up in the middle of a lockdown. And by the way, the word lockdown is a word that applies to a prison. In the middle of a lockdown, they're showing up in the thousands to demand that our society be reopened. Dr. Rima is right saying that the overall level of deaths in this society has not increased. How can there be a pandemic without additional deaths? However, in one area, there have been additional deaths, and that's in the area of suicide. The lockdown is literally tearing apart our society, and we have to stop it now. That's the message that we need to bring. We organized the COVID Emergency Health Summit back in late February, and we've updated the videos there a number of times. We brought together a group of really extraordinary people to talk about the pandemic that was coming at us, or the planned demic that was coming at us. And we have 4.5 hours of insightful video with Richard Sacks and with people like Sheriff Mack and Counsel Larry B. Kraft and others, talking about the social and political and economic realities behind the pandemic. We've updated that through a couple of update podcasts with Richard's help. And this is the, I believe, second or third podcast update that we've done to try to bring to the public more information. Dr. Rima also mentioned truthaboutcoronavirus.com, which is part of a larger website called Open Source Truth. Open Source Truth is a place where a number of people, including Richard, and others post really important information. You need to go to opensourcetruth.com and make it your first stop for important information when you're being twisted and distorted at by the mass media.
I want to add also that there is another source of increase in death, which is likely to get extremely massive because of the shutdown, which the news is saying because of the virus, but it's actually because of the shutdown, and that is death by starvation, especially right. in third world countries.
Right.
And the UN's own organizations are predicting that there's going to be 130 million extra deaths by starvation this year. And they're saying it's because of the terrible virus.
It is because of the terrible international plan to depopulate the planet. This is a plandemic. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Ralph. I'm sorry.
As I was saying, I used to say that. You know, pity the poor genocidalists, the people who are the eugenicidalists, led by, of course, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the people who want to depopulate the planet in order to save it. Pity them. No matter what they do, the population of humans on this planet goes up and up and up. And since human innovation is purely related to and only related to the number of humans that are alive, their desire to destroy the number of people on the planet is a desire to destroy human innovation and creativity. But leaving that aside, pity them. They have failed over and over again. Even the great flu pandemic of 1918-1919, which was another plandemic, which we can talk about later.
Absolutely.
Even that, even World War II, nothing slowed down the increase in population. Well, one thing that helps is bringing electricity to rural villages. That slows down population increase. But
and the other thing that slows down population is the education of women.
Exactly.
But voluntary control, and of course birth control, voluntary regulation of fertility is very different from involuntary regulation of fertility. And I will remind people that the WHO, or World Holocaust Organization, was convicted in the Philippines in the late 90s of genocide by their high court, by their Supreme Court, because they involuntarily, through vaccination, intentionally sterilized approximately 3 million women in the Philippines of childbearing age. They called it their tetanus protection program. 95% of the events of tetanus, of the occurrences of tetanus, are in men. Yet it was women who received 5 vaccines, closely spaced, 5 inoculations, injections, against, quote, neonatal tetanus, a completely nonsensical disease. Babies don't step on rusty nails any more than their sex workers and need hepatitis B treatment and prevention. And babies are just kind of lazy. They sit around, they eat, they grow, they goo, they sleep. That's all they do for a while. And so this is complete fraud. But what they have done, and this has been found in Kenya and Guatemala and Thailand and lots of places where people have brown and black skins, in accord with the first depopulation layers, what they have done is given people, women, vaccines with something called human chorionic gonadotropin, a natural hormone that we produce, and women produce a lot of it when they're pregnant in order to keep the pregnancy in the uterus and not have the body kick it out. So they give it in this vaccine, irritate the immune system, and the immune system makes antibodies against HCG, human chorionic gonadotropin. Whenever a woman then becomes pregnant, yes, she can conceive. Yes, the sperm and the egg can unite. Yes, that can travel down the fallopian tube to her uterus. But no, her body will eject it, because when she makes human chorionic gonadotropin, HCG, in her uterus and in her pituitary, the body is already trained through the antibody alert system that's been stimulated to attack the molecules of HCG, and without that, there is no way that the implant of the fetus can occur, and therefore the woman loses the pregnancy often before she knows she's pregnant, and will never have a child biologically, is now sterilized.
Who did you say was found guilty in the Philippines?
The World Health Organization.
And I assume no one got in trouble of any kind.
I assume not, right. Because the bishops of Kenya have repeatedly had the tetanus vaccines tested that WHO comes in and Doctors Without Borders. Unfortunately, Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders, is up to their eye bones in this dreadful depopulation. And so they test the vaccines and they say, oh, my God. And the World Health Organization says, I look over there, nothing to see here.
But, folks, unless you believe that you are exempt, that your daughters and granddaughters are exempt from this, that it's only black people and brown people, let us remind you that in 2009 and 2010, the plan in the United States for the second swine flu pandemic. Remember the first swine flu pandemic back in 1976 where the vaccine killed 400 people and it was quickly withdrawn from the market and there was no pandemic.
The flu killed zero people.
Right. There was no pandemic, right? But what there was a cry from the drug company saying, Congress, protect us from lawsuits or else we will never make another vaccine again. Oh, please, folks, throw us in that briar patch. Anyway, they got a law that that protects them from lawsuits, and as a result, vaccines are more and more dangerous, and there are more and more of them, right? But back in 2009-10, the plan was, according to then HHS Secretary Sebelius, to vaccinate everyone, starting with the volunteers first, and they would be volunteers who would be people in the first lines in the health responders. And by the way, we stopped that through a lawsuit. We stopped that back.
And we stopped it through public action. We gave people a button to press.
Millions took action. Anyway. Good.
Kathleen Sebelius announced to Congress, did not ask Congress, announced to Congress on September 15th, 2009, that FDA had independently funded the compulsory, mandatory vaccination of every man, woman, and child in the United States. But since they didn't quite have enough of the working end of the vaccine, which is called the antigen, they were going to add a new immune system irritant called an adjuvant, squalene, that had never been used before in publicly acknowledged medical purposes, an experimental adjuvant. And they were going to add it at a particular amount for every vaccine dose. And we, the trustees of the foundation, Natural Solutions Foundation, were curious as to why she would specify that particular dose, given that she also added that the scientists at the FDA would not sign off on it, but they were doing it anyway. So we went looking, and we found two patents, one for the irreversible immune-mediated sterility of men caused by the injection of exactly that amount of squalene, and one for the irreversible immune-mediated infertility of women caused by the exact amount of squalene being injected. Those patents held by the United States government. So the plan was that the United States government was going to, yes, vaccinate and, yes, sterilize the entire population, which is in keeping with Agenda 21 and now Agenda 2030 being brought to you by the governmental agencies and genocidalists of the world as Agenda 2020. And let me point out quickly two other things. There have been two fabulously wealthy industrialist genocidalists who distorted and changed society to their own ends. One was John D. Rockefeller Jr., fabulously wealthy genocidalist. In fact, the man who introduced eugenics to Germany and sponsored under Kaiser Wilhelm the Kaiser Wilhelm Institutes in Munich and Berlin for the scientific study of purification of the race. And then his cultural heir, fabulously wealthy industrialist Bill Gates, with the help of his wife Melinda, who, by the way, for you folks who follow symbology closely, on November 8th, when she was talking about the importance of mandatorily vaccinating everybody in the world on television, on the Today Show, was wearing an upside-down cross. For those of you who follow such things, that's not a good sign. So we're talking about people with a long-term agenda who have fabulous resources and totally insufficient ethical, moral, human, and humane values.
So anyway, what I was going to ask about is one of you or both of you mentioned that Congress granted immunity to the vaccine makers and everybody in the chain of administering them in 1986, and I think it started in 87 that it was effective. And I know that came up because the vaccine companies were saying, we have this terrible problem. People definitely need our products. And if they don't have them, they're going to just die and get sick and die, whatever comes first. And
But if they die, we want to be immune from the damages, right?
Well, right, exactly. And well, no, I was saying everybody's going to get sick and die if they don't get all the vaccines. And the problem is that when we give them that vaccines, they all get sick and die. So, and then they sue us, or if there's anybody left in their family, they sue us. So they went to Congress and said, we're getting sued because our product is so damaging. We need immunity because our product is so healthy and necessary. Is their excuse just that they're that dumb, or is there some other reason that they passed?
There have been cases about this. They set up the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, and there's been a lot of case law involving in that. Of course, the compensation program is paid for by the people who are required to buy the vaccines, and it has compensated the tiniest tip of the tiniest tip of the iceberg of vaccination harm. But nonetheless, they set up a system, and the Supreme Court said, because vaccines are unavoidably unsafe, you can have a compensation system that ignores the First Amendment, which gives us the right to redress for the petition for right of redress to grievances. You can ignore that and have an administrative program that compensates people because of the public health necessity.
Right, but what I'm asking is why did they, you know, they seem like human beings in Congress, and on the outside anyway, and
That's quite an assumption.
I'm not setting the bar very high. I'm saying they have mostly the right number of arms and legs and heads and things like that, and they walk upright. And you know,
They have extra pockets.
Yeah, exactly.
They won't lie. The people who support the lie put a lot of money in their pockets. They believed it, and they passed a law that had built-in safeguards. The law said you're free from liability, but you have to make future vaccines safer than past vaccines, and you have to give us HHS, or at least FDA back in those days, an annual report showing how it's safer.
Right, but they don't get in trouble for ignoring that.
Not one of those reports has ever been filed as required by law. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. proved that last year, or actually the end of 2018, he got a Freedom of Information Act request. The government finally admitted there were no such reports. We took that admission, which is in the form of a stipulation of settlement in a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit that Kennedy brought, and we submitted on March 8th of last year a formal petition to the FDA demanding that the FDA suspend all childhood vaccines until the law is obeyed.
The FDA says thank you for your demand. That was a great demand.
They have ignored our petition. We have the right to go to sue in federal court over that, but we need to have hundreds of thousands of dollars to do that.
Right. It would be interesting to see what would happen.
If anyone out there can do that for us, give me a call. Write me at ralph.fusatola@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to move forward. We've even set up a crowdfunding appeal for that. If you go to the Institute for Health Research website, and I'm president of the Institute, and Dr. Rima and I are two of the trustees of the Institute, it is a an NGO, an exempt NGO that supports real research. If you go there and go to the donation page, you'll find a funding page where you can donate towards supporting that action. But frankly, we need a lot more money than has been donated.
Let me add something else here. The mandatory vaccine or the self-mandated vaccine. I gotta have the vaccine for myself and my kids because we're all gonna die if we don't have the vaccine. Never mind the fact that it's a gene editing vaccine which will change the human genome forever, and what could possibly go wrong with a completely experimental vaccine on a principle that's never been tried in humans, and I hope never will. If you don't want that or other vaccines, then the Natural Solutions Foundation has created a very, very important wallet-sized document called the Advanced Vaccine Directive, which allows you to assert your internationally and nationally protected right of informed consent to say, I refuse all vaccines. And frankly, if one person or 30 people carry it, it's not effective. But if millions of people carry it and say, don't you dare, and hold up their card. Do you happen to have a card handy, Ralph? Oh, of course you do. Good. Well, that's a little too close. Back it up. Okay. Turn around so we can see what's facing you. There. There's a place where you can sign it and date it. And the language on it has been extremely carefully and lengthily, laboriously researched, so you can take it down.
Please notice the QR code. If you click on that, you will go to a page on the website that explains it.
Okay, so it has been laboriously researched so that you have the right of affirming and asserting your right of informed consent. And I can tell you from my use of it in a hospital when they kept trying to assault General Burt with syringes filled with poison that would hasten his demise, as so many things that they kept trying to do were designed to do. When I held out the card and said, don't you dare, they said, you must, you must. I was speaking for General Burt. They said, you must, you must. I said, send legal down here, please. They never sent legal down, but they'd go away. It works. You have to have the cojones to stand your ground, as in those wonderful films where people say to the cop who is illegally stopping them, am I under arrest? Am I being detained? Am I free to go? This is the equivalent saying, is there a specific court order forcing me particularly to have this vaccine? If not, I have the right of informed consent and I am exercising it. You can't just say it. You have to have it in writing, and that's what the card is about.
If you don't assert the right, it will be deemed waived. That is the key, the legal term, deemed waived.
Yeah, the whole thing of resisting the mandatory non-consensual procedures like the vaccines is really relevant. A lot of people have...
That's because although state legislators may have the legal right to abolish religious exemptions and change medical exemptions, they have no right to interfere with the universal right of informed consent, which is secured to us by international law and by federal law and federal case law as well.
Well, the U.S. became a signatory to the Nuremberg Code, right?
It created the Nuremberg Code.
Created it. Okay.
And under the Geneva Conventions, when you try enemy combatants, in that case, the Nazi doctors who engage in horrific experimentation, not unlike the experimentation which is being done right now by the public health authorities. You know, they intend to impose upon us a new vaccine which is not safety tested, which is not really efficacy tested. And it's going to happen really fast, folks. You're going to have to make a decision, each and every one of you. You're going to have to say yes or no. You're going to have to either stand up and say, not only am I refusing to give you informed consent, but you cannot condition the grant to me of a public benefit like traveling on the roads or going into stores or sending my children to public schools on me surrendering my right to informed consent.
Right.
That is coercion.
I think that's that.
How to assert your right, and you must start to assert it strongly. It is no longer an academic exercise.
Yeah, I think that's the way they currently plan to do it, is that don't worry, there's no informed consent breach because we're going to let you not be vaccinated. You just can't get food, go to the bank, travel, leave your house, breathe, whatever. You're locked down, but you don't have to take the vaccine. And I think they think they're going to get around it that way.
I understand.
We are not going to let them get away with that. Ralph and I speak a dozen times a day. And one of the things that we said this morning in preparation for this call with you, Richard, was how is it that people still believe the lies? How is it, with the science rolling out, with the facts so clearly abundantly available, how is it that people in the main still buy the lies? Well, part of it is fluoride. Fluoride in the water, in your toothpaste, sprayed on your food, makes you apathetic, dumbs you down, and makes you compliant. So I strongly suggest, if you really want to start thinking, get rid of the fluoride in your water, and a Brita filter won't do it. You actually need a real filter, and do a little research on the internet and you'll find one, and that's fine. And get a shower filter, because the water is vaporized and you breathe it, and it's very, very damaging. But Dr. Fauci has been a central figure in the trust me, I'm an authority hysteria and madness. Even when Dr. Fauci contradicts Donald Trump, who is saying, I'm an authority, trust me, and asking people to consider injecting things like detergents and so on into their bodies. That's quite an interesting level of expertise.
He is trolling. But anyway, go ahead.
Dr. Fauci has been wrong every single step of the way. I would like to briefly note the 15 most egregious things, and I'm not talking about how wrong he's been about HIV. I'm not talking about how many patents he holds personally on vaccines and how much money he rakes in when the world's leading vaccine sales agency, the CDC, and its components and its so-called experts allow these vaccines to be used and sell the vaccines. I'm not talking about that. Let's just look at Dr. Fauci and the coronavirus. Dr. Fauci says he warned Trump in January that the U.S. was in real trouble, but publicly what he said on TV, told Newsmax TV, that, quote, the United States did not have to worry about the coronavirus and that it was, quote, not a major threat. Well, now that's interesting. And then Dr. Fauci warned of an apocalyptic corona pandemic. Then just weeks later, Dr. Fauci said, no, the coronavirus is similar to a bad flu. Nothing to see here. Move along. Then Dr. Fauci based all of his predictions that have been so cataclysmically destructive to the U.S. economy, and by the way, this is a global problem. Think about how the coronavirus, which supposedly is temperature sensitive, could explode simultaneously in countries all over the world, regardless of what season they were in and whether it was hot or cold or humid or dry. A Japanese Nobel Prize winner in medicine recently said, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. It has to be a weaponized virus for it to explode in every climate simultaneously. But Dr. Fauci then warned of an apocalyptic corona pandemic and weeks later compared the virus to just a bad flu. But all of this was based on, all of the shutdown was based on a garbage model from the IHME in England, which is so bad, is such bad this is what it's called. This is a term of art in the computer programming world. It's called shit code. When you run the program with the same numbers, you get radically, wildly different answers that model how many people are going to die. When you run the program with the same numbers on different computers, you get wildly, radically different numbers. When you run the program on the same computers with the same numbers, you get radically, wildly different numbers. Basically, the program on which the entire global lockdown has supposedly been predicated and validated is a random number generator. And Dr. Fauci said, yes, we can trust this model. This model has been literally off by millions of predicted deaths. And when that became clear, Dr. Fauci told reporters after saying that it was based on this model that we should close down the entire U.S. economy as the world economy has been shut down, lockdown. He said, quote, you can't really rely on models. Cool, Dr. Fauci. Very nicely done. On March 20th, Dr. Fauci corrected the president at one of his astonishing press events. I don't even know what to call them. By when the president was saying that hydroxychloroquine treatment for coronavirus was promising and wonderful and we should do it, he said, you've got to be careful when you say fairly effective. It was never done in a clinical trial. It was given to individuals, and they felt that maybe it worked. End quote. However, just 2 weeks later, hydroxychloroquine, which is a dangerous drug, by the way, was deemed by Dr. Fauci the most highly rated treatment for the novel coronavirus in an international poll of more than 6,000 doctors and endorsed by Dr. Fauci. Now, these models, these computer models, Dr. Fauci's been behind them continually telling us that based on the model, the failed shit code model, 1 to 2 million Americans would die from coronavirus. Then he said, yeah, okay, only 10% of that, 100 to 200,000 Americans will die from the virus. And if you remember, our esteemed president said, if only 100,000 people die, that'll be a real triumph. Not for the 100,000 people and their families. 3 weeks ago, he agreed that only 81,766 Americans, that number from the same random number generator model, would die from the coronavirus. And then this past Wednesday, the experts have now cut the number of deaths to 60,415. And all of those deaths are completely meaningless numbers, not to the people who are dead, but they're meaningless numbers because the PCR, the genetic test, has an 80% false positive number. The antibody tests are wildly, all 16 of them are wildly inaccurate, and the new viral coat test is equally inaccurate. So we don't know what we got here in terms of testing, but everybody who dies is being presumed to have died from coronavirus. On Easter Sunday, Dr. Fauci suggested President Trump should have shut down the economy in February. Hindsight threw a retrospectoscope up his posterior, when the number of known cases in the United States was still around 100. After he got jumped on for that, Fauci walked that back and said, oh, well, Dr. Fauci said cruises were okay on March 9th. That turned out real well. Dr. Fauci said that malls, movies, and gyms were perfectly okay on February 29th. That's gone well. Dr. Fauci was wrong about the first coronavirus deaths in the country. Dr. Birx and the CDC, and by the way, Dr. Birx is now saying she can't trust anything the CDC says. It's the only thing Dr. Birx has ever said that agrees with me. They said that the CDC were off by nearly a month California officials revealed in April that a patient in Santa Clara had died from coronavirus on February 6th, not February 29th. You would expect the head of the allergy and immunology division of the National Institutes of Health, you would expect America's doctor to know when the first damn coronavirus patient died. Wouldn't you? In the United States, wouldn't you? Dr. Fauci said the CDC and the CDC missed the millions and millions of U.S. citizens who had already contracted the coronavirus before the lockdowns, which were completely unnecessary based on a shit code model. Knowing this could have prevented the economic calamity, but they did not want to prevent the economic calamity. And Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx and Trump are in this up to their eye bones. On April 15th, 2020, Fauci endorsed Tinder hookups. Yeah. And after you meet online, then you can kind of have a date in person. Great. But he also, and this is very important for our protection, I am so moved by this, he said we should never shake hands again. The old elbow bump will do. Dr. Fauci relied on corrupt WHO rules to lock down the United States and destroy the U.S. economy. Meanwhile, if there's any truth to the notion that people who can develop immunity have to be exposed to the community, to the disease in the community, that's called community immunity, not herd immunity, which is a completely different and nonsensical thing. There was no possibility of developing meaningful community immunity, even though it was known that most people develop low-level or no-symptom infections. However, this being a weaponized virus, it's not clear that anybody actually develops meaningful immunity because you can get it again and again and again from yourself, not from reinfection. Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx used the Imperial College model, the shit code model, to persuade President Trump to lock down the entire U.S. economy, as mentioned above. It has since been confirmed and was known at that time. It was published in peer-reviewed journals that the Imperial College model was shit code, except instead of an I, they used an asterisk, so it was SH asterisk T code, random number generation in peer-reviewed literature, and yet they chose to use it as the excuse to do the harm that they have done. Dr. Fauci warned that Georgia would see a surge in coronavirus cases and deaths by opening its economy too early. In fact, both cases and deaths have gone sharply and steadily downward. On Tuesday, this last week, during testimony in self-quarantine, Dr. Fauci told Dr. Rand Paul that opening the schools would not be a good idea. We can't have children educated. We can't have parents working with their minds on their work. Oh, no, everybody has to work from home. And just a minute, honey, let me finish this report and I'll change your diaper. Last week, the Netherlands and Switzerland both reopened their schools after finding, as we have known from the beginning, that children are not at risk from the coronavirus. And wait for it, da-da-da-da, they are not carriers of the virus. Now, Dr. Fauci continues to be wrong day after day, yet the U.S. senators and the media treat him like some kind of revered, wise medical king. This is the man who put close to 30 million Americans out of work based on models that he knew or had every reason to know were bogus. And he still has a job. I guess that's because he works for the government. This is outrageous. This man, and we won't even talk about his corruption. This man should be given no credence, no credibility, and no airtime. He has made fatal mistakes. We are talking about, instead of using nano silver to protect the immune system and vitamin C as a an intravenous treatment at sufficient levels, 50 to 100 grams, at least once a day, this man is endorsing the use of ventilators. 80% plus of people with suspected COVID virus who are put on ventilators die because the ventilators kill them, because the disease is actually one that creates blood clots throughout the body and pushing oxygen at pressure against blood clots in the delicate lung tissue is a death sentence. Dr. Anthony Fauci is not part of the solution. Dr. Anthony Fauci is a major part of the problem. And then the other part of the problem is who is behind Fauci? Who wants this to happen? And the answer is the damn globalists. This is Agenda 2030. Ralph and I are reissuing the book that we wrote on Agenda 21 to make it very clear that this is no accident. This is not a random event. This is an organized, planned pandemic designed to collapse the world economy, to reduce the world's population, to give us the opportunity, which we will sheepishly take, to give away our freedoms, bow our heads, and thank our captors for keeping us, quote, safe until they decide to dispose of yet more of us. These are the same people who have engineered the autism pandemic so they can have high-functioning, tractable, disposable Delta workers per Aldous Huxley. Read the first three chapters of Brave New World. It's available free online. This is not a mistake or an accident. This is a planned slaughter.
Indeed, the plandemic. Indeed.
And when I have something that I feel strongly about, I'll let you know.
Yeah. Psychologically, if you could just relax enough to say what you actually feel, Dr.
No, I thought I'd keep it a secret.
Okay.
Give you guys another little factor, the data points. General Burt taught us to find the data points and look at them and see what's really going on. There have been several children, a half a dozen perhaps by now, in New York State, where Dr. Rima is licensed to practice medicine, who have died allegedly with COVID. But the symptoms are not indistinguishable, not distinguishable from vaccine adverse reactions. And the authorities are telling us we all ought to get the annual flu vaccine right now. Isn't that interesting? It's all good for flu season, isn't it?
And
we know there are actual peer-reviewed studies, published studies, that show that if you have the flu vaccine, you are more susceptible to COVID. Yes,
so you definitely want to get the flu vaccine, and you definitely want to get your kids the flu vaccine because it makes you more susceptible to the lung damage and to the immune damage that the weaponized COVID virus will cause if you are vulnerable
I had a couple of things I wanted to respond to all that you said, Dr. Rima, which was great. One of them, as you mentioned, overall, the numbers of deaths that you checked in the world and in the country are not changing. So the other thing is so they can't say that only 100,000 people died of this virus. They're changing the language so that they're not even talking about this virus anymore. They're talking about coronavirus, which is a generic term for all the coronaviruses, and doesn't tell you anything. So if there are people, you know, that were dying before of pneumonia and bad cold symptoms that were aggravated by what else was wrong with them and things like that, there were coronaviruses involved in every one of those cases
before. Or not. There don't have to be coronaviruses involved at all for everything that causes death to be labeled as
coronavirus. There was an educational meme going around the internet a while back that said it was a tragic situation that this skydiver, they failed to open their parachute and died of coronavirus when they hit the ground. And we've had doctors on our show that confirm that that's not a joke, that they are actually being asked by CDC in a memo to put all the coronavirus deaths, but they're switching it from SARS-CoV-2, which was the before the mutations happened, the specific virus that should be the only one being talked about, plus all the mutations that they don't even identify. Those are the only ones that would mean anything for death rate, and those are never talked about. They switched it to coronavirus, and then they defined everything as coronavirus.
So, or suspected coronavirus.
Yeah, but the fact that you brought up that the overall deaths have not changed indicates that the reason for the pandemic, as you called it, were not necessarily to kill a whole bunch of extra people this time, not with the virus itself, maybe the vaccine, but not the virus. But the purpose was the lockdown, the killing of people by starvation, the control of people to get used to being ordered to stay at home. And in the U.S., which Declaration of Independence that was in the beginning of the founding of the U.S. says that everybody, no matter where they are, has all the same rights. You don't have to be American. And the rights are granted by God, not by government or the U.N. or anything else like that. They're unalienable. So no, the argument about the death rate not being that bad, so we shouldn't be locked down, that's an irrelevant argument.
Because
even if the death rate were 98%, the government actually has no justification to take away your unalienable right to go where you
want. Absolutely correct. I would like to tell a personal story that just happened today, if I may.
Sure.
And neither Ralph nor you know about it yet, because it just happened minutes before we began this conversation. I was scheduled to have bilateral cataract surgery in February, then March, then April, then May, and it has now been pushed back because the elective surgery centers are not open until June for one eye and July for the other eye. Why do I need cataract surgery? Well, probably because for the third time I was hit with a high energy weapon. There are those who are not particularly happy to have me on the planet actively sharing information. And so there have been a number of serious attempts on my life. The last one literally boiled the eyeballs, the cornea, opacified, which is what a cataract is. And suddenly, shazam, bam, I needed cataract surgery in both eyes. Okay, so I scheduled cataract surgery in both eyes with lens implants. And it's been pushed back because of the closure of the elective surgery centers where these things are done. So today, the office called me and said, Dr. Labo, you are scheduled for the first eye to be done on June 4th and the second eye to be done on July 11th or the other way around. But there is a new wrinkle. I said, oh, yes. What is the new wrinkle? And they said, the secretary said, well, the eye surgery center is requiring a COVID test for every patient who comes in. I said, that's interesting. At which point I thanked her and determined I needed to speak to the doctor. So as it happened, the doctor called me a minute later asking for clarification of something on the paperwork. I guess they don't make copies. And I said, by the way, doctor, let me ask you a question. Are you aware that, I said, is this a PCR test, an antibody test, or a viral fragment test? And he said, that's a really good question. I don't know. And I said, well, the reason I'm asking is that the PCR test has a 80% plus false positive rate. The antibody tests, all 16 of them, are totally unreliable, according to the FDA and the CDC. They are meaningless. And the viral fragment test, which is just coming online, is equally meaningless because it tests for all kinds of things or nothing. So if I get a positive test, it's entirely possible that I won't be able to have this vision corrected, which I need. He said, that's a good point. I've been reading about the fact that none of these tests mean anything. I said, therefore, what I want you to do is acting in your capacity as learned intermediary. And remember, I'm licensed in the state of Arizona and the state of New York, and I've been writing about this and thinking about it with Ralph's help. I said, as a learned intermediary, which is what a physician is legally, I would like you to write a letter of exemption saying that I do not need to be tested, because whether I've tested positive or whether I'm tested negative, it's meaningless. And if I have, by bad luck, a positive test, I can't get the visual correction that I need. And he said, that's a really good point, but the surgical center can override my letter. I said, no, they can't, not legally. You are the learned intermediary, and they have to accept you. And he said, yeah, it's all nonsense. The mask thing, it's all nonsense. The viral thing, it doesn't make any sense. And I don't know where to go for good information. So I said, truthaboutcoronavirus.com, doctor, and you and your family need NanoSilver, nsfmarketplace.com, doctor. And he said, I tell you what, you have obviously thought about this. If you get a positive test of whatever sort it is, and I don't know what sort it is, then I will write a letter overriding it, and we'll see what happens. And I said, thank you, doctor. So this is a doctor with at least a shred of cojone tissue left.
There is another reason that you don't want the testing, no matter what, under any circumstances. And that is that not only is it meaningless, and now they're admitting it's testing for coronavirus, which who cares? Almost everybody has it. And that's a setup to show that we need total totalitarian control, because everybody has it. If they tested for the specific virus and found almost nobody with it, and they can't do that because they don't know the mutations now anyway, then that might say something. But that's not what they're doing. So the reason you don't ever want to be tested is it's for coronavirus. It'll put you on a list so that developments we can talk about next mean that everybody you were ever in contact with can now be ripped out of their house by the new contact tracers under Bill 6666, which we can go into. And so, that's so coincidence.
You're absolutely right. My plan was, now that he was softened up a little,
to
go back to him and say, you know, I've been thinking, I really don't want to do this because the consequences are very unpleasant. So, and then, if necessary, I'll go to India or to Thailand or to Sweden for the surgery, or Finland for the surgery.
Mexico, maybe.
Or Mexico.
Yeah.
So this is a setup, exactly as you say.
Yeah, I think the testing is, and that's aside from the issue that a lot of tests have already been found contaminated, and they could actually get you sick by interacting with your blood. And that might not be the best thing to do.
I left that out, sorry. But yes, the actual reagents for the tests have been found contaminated. Oops.
Yeah, which is really great if you want everybody positive. Because if they weren't before, they will be after that, at least for something. So maybe the thing to do, and again, this point that so many of the commentators we hear, even really well-motivated good ones, are saying, look, this is a fraud because we don't have enough positive death numbers to warrant a lockdown. That's wrong, because in the U.S., and it's in code, and in everywhere else by implication, it doesn't, even if the death were 100%, it's up to the people to decide if they want to stop moving around, not the controllers, irrespective of the numbers.
And sounds like a libertarian, doesn't he, Ralph?
He does. There is no provision in the Constitution allowing a lockdown over over a contagion.
And I don't think anything's written regarding the removal of any rights that are fundamental.
Of course, exactly. Right? The founders well understood contagion. Every summer in Philadelphia, there would be an outbreak of something or the other. And the well-off people would go out to Germantown to their country homes. They would bring their slaves with them because slaves were valuable, and they would leave their indentured Irish servants back in the city because they were invaluable. And a lot of people died until nutrition, sanitation, and hygiene improved.
Right.
And those were the three factors that stopped the great pandemic diseases of the 17th, 18th, 19th centuries.
Yeah.
until that happened. But the founders well understood that. And in the habeas corpus clause in the Constitution, they did not say invasion, rebellion, and contagion. They said invasion or rebellion. And it's not an invasion of a virus they were talking about.
That's right. And Ralph,
the law is clear. This is all illegal. We are not in a prison. We can't be locked down, but we're allowing it to happen.
Yeah, and the other thing related to that that Dr. Rima brought up, which is all the various treatments, and that's certainly connected to the censorship issue, which we haven't really gotten into yet. There were doctors in California that were daring to go on television. It was only local. They wouldn't put them nationwide. And they said, look, we acknowledge that hydroxychloroquine has side effects. Anybody can look them up. And if you use it by itself on these few patients that actually do have the oxygen deprivation, like high altitude sickness, not pneumonia, and you'd kill them with ventilators, if you use hydroxychloroquine by itself on them, it doesn't work. But if you use it with zinc, not only does it work, they have no more symptoms in one day. So it's one day of using a drug with side effects versus the HIV drugs that kill everybody. And what's that special drug that just got approved by FDA that also kills a lot of people that is now okay to use?
The Gilead drug.
Something Veer.
Ramsumfadir. Yes.
Yeah, that was fine. But those things are like super dangerous. And compared to them, hydroxychloroquine and zinc for one day are really a lot better.
And compared to hydroxychloroquine and zinc, how about vitamin C?
That was my next thing. Yeah, because a lot of doctors like Brownstein, for example, the last report I saw from him, and he's famous for work with iodine and things like that, he was saying that all these different stages of these few patients, not coronavirus patients, because they're massive, they're everywhere, and most of them aren't sick, but the ones that were having this oxygen problem, the ones that were not really too bad, they just did oral vitamin C, and they could have done nanosilver if they knew about it, and iodine and D3 and stuff like that. They all got better and never got really sick. The ones who were worse, they did, they put the breathing thing, what's it called?
The CPAP or the BiPAP.
Yeah, or the nebulizer or something.
A nebulizer.
They had them breathe hydrogen peroxide, and then the ones that were near death, they put them on IV vitamin C. 100% not only got well, they didn't even need to go to the hospital. All that is censored, including the hydroxychloroquine plus zinc, which is worse than the vitamin C by itself. Because the best medicine has zero side effects, of course.
Of course.
All this is totally censored. So one of the reasons that, you know, the answer to what you were asking, Dr. Remo, of why are we falling for it, and I don't really want to use the word we, but why are a lot of people falling for it? I think a lot of the credit goes to an incredibly great professional job by our media.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
Yes. Goebbels would have been happy.
Yeah.
I am reminded of the happily late David Rockefeller telling the major media, the Washington Post, the New York Times, the other major newspapers of the United States and Canada, that without their cooperation for the last 25 years, it would not have been possible to bring the New World Order forward. And this was recorded secretly and is available on YouTube, or was available on YouTube. I don't know, with the new censorship of the CEO of YouTube telling us that anything that contradicts the official positions of WHO and the CDC will be removed, will be censored, then it's not clear what information remains. And I will remind you that during times of revolution, during times of evolution of thought, people find communications. For instance, in Russia, during the great protests against the Soviet Union and its false narratives about everything, people risked their lives by having mimeograph machines in their closets covered with towels and blankets to blank out the sound. and they would slowly and carefully turn the crank and create what was called semizot, fading blue pieces of actual information to counter the propaganda. And it was the semizot, really, in many ways, that led to the one of the major factors that led to the breaking apart of the Soviet Union. And people were risking their lives to bring these pieces of paper that they would fold in their pockets and that they would carefully unfold because the ink was fading and the paper, very poor quality paper, was actually cracking down the folds. But it was so precious, they were willing to risk death for possession of these pieces of semizot.
So censorship is not a new thing. It's just the technology that's behind it now is new.
Indeed.
Right.
And folks, we've been talking for an hour and a half. And I know there are some limits on my time. I know that, Richard, you want to continue a bit to for the private group.
Yeah, the only thing I'd like to do before that, Ralph, just for a minute, because I think I'd like to get both of your input, is just by some amazing coincidence, there's been a bill introduced in the U.S. House by a Democratic representative named Bobby Something, and it's number 6666, and it would be good to go in. Amazing coincidence for this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's after a patent was granted to a Gates-related company, patent number 060606. And these are related, and they're like some form of announcement to the spirit behind what's coming or what they hope will come to us soon. So if we could just take a minute on that before we end this
conversation. Tell us what
conversation.
The patent was for, as well as what the bill says.
Yeah, I think so. Well, the patent is fairly complex, but I think one thing that it includes is a system of injected readable dye, and that can be used to track you much more efficiently than a brain chip or anything like that, or a chip in your hand, you know, that they were talking about a hand or a forehead for a long time because of the biblical reference. And this one doesn't have to be restricted to a certain, you know, capsule or something like that. It can't be surgically removed because it permeates the body under the skin. And you don't have to worry because it won't clash with your wardrobe or anything. It can only be read by a cell phone app, which is held close to a person with the dye, and it will tell whether you're up to date on the required vaccines, and it will also have your financial records and everything else about you. Plus, this system can be connected to a new blockchain-related cryptocurrency issued by the government or the Federal Reserve or both, as central bank in each country, and it will be connected. This is a new idea or a new attempt at this idea. You're told certain activities that you can do or not do, and if you do them, it credits your account with money, so-called money, and if you go against it, it decreases your balance. And this is an incredible leap forward in wonderful technology. So that's patent 060606.
And I feel so safe.
I wrote an article in Open Source Truth a few days ago entitled COVID Mind Control, but obviously I need to update it to include...
This is an important step forward, and then the bill that this benevolent House representative person just put in with, apparently he's not the only force behind it. He's got like 26 co-sponsors, and this is a bill to... fund, I think they're only asking for $100 billion for this year.
Right.
And it funds the establishment of an army, kind of like Obama referred to, a domestic enforcement arm, just as strong, just as well-funded as the military, which you may remember he said in a major speech. And this is specifying what it'll be for. And this army that this bill suggests funding is to go find people like the WHO Secretary General recently suggested, that by doing such a great job of isolating ourselves, the disease has been pushed back into homes, as he said. And we have to go into homes, which this army will have the job to do, test everybody, say, how are you? The Secretary General literally said, say, how are you when you go there? And you take their temperature and you test them not for SARS-CoV-2 because that would be a big waste of time. It's mutated all over the place. But you test them for coronavirus, especially if you can use a false positive test. And then the people that have it, you get to kidnap those, I mean, isolate them with dignity and take them to an undisclosed location. And the Queen of England recently said, yeah, we know deep down it's the right thing to do. And that just like we had to go through separations in World War II to put the kids in a safe place, we're going to have to do the same thing again now if the parents test positive or vice versa.
Or if the test says that they test positive.
Well, yeah, that's up to the test.
There is no independent verification.
No, this is advanced science. It's not something that
you question. They need to find out whether the Second Amendment is the only one that matters.
Yeah, and I hope it's not. I mean, I would really rather avoid the unpleasantness.
Amen. Amen to that.
So, but this is a situation that needs to be solved right now, and these are the bills being suggested. These are the patents that are being granted.
People must push back. They must push back.
Yeah, so in a way, the most important issue after all this foundational information of why it's important is realistically, not to just feel like we tried and did something. How do we actually reverse all this stuff?
We say no. The most important three words that we as free people have available to us are don't you dare. And Ralph is holding up one of the ways that you say don't you dare. It's the Advanced Vaccine Directive card. And you can find it at nsfmarketplace.com. And with that, you will get a sheet of paper with information and instructions and suggestions on how to use it for your children. By the way, each person needs one. Baby needs one. The preschooler needs one. You need one. Your wife, your husband, your brother, whoever it is that you're trying to protect needs their own card. And we tell you how to sign parents for children and people that you're guardians of and so on. And you hold it out and you say no with a shield of legal protection. It's nice if you understand the legal protection. That is one very important way. Another way is to use the social media, which was created to control us and thus destroy us, to use the social media to become a point of information. We know that for somebody to believe something that they don't believe now, they have to hear it seven times. Let them hear it seven times from you. These are your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your relatives, your whatever, your Facebook friends, however that works. Use the social media for our purposes and say, this is wrong, this is false, no, 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 this is what I believe. Because for the people that care about you and that communicate with you, you are an authority, whether you see yourself that way or not.
Right.
And your information can literally change the world. If you do nothing, if you sit on your typewriter fingers, you are complicit in helping the world to be destroyed.
And the AI that's behind a lot of the censorship now, it still is not quite understanding sarcasm.
Yes.
And so I got a confirmation of that a few days ago. There are bots coming out like people that are emailing you at your address, and they say, please, I don't understand if you use sarcasm. That doesn't come from a human. It's really easy to understand. And these things are coming out. They're saying the same complaint over and over. And so you can recognize them. And sarcasm, creatively used, can, in some cases, get by intense censorship. The other thing is that before in 2009, you guys were involved in a successful campaign that stopped the planned demic of that time. And what would have to happen to use that again now?
Money. We had 350,000 people on our mailing list. We asked for donations. We got donations. We had enough money to pay for a very, very good service that allowed us, when we said, please click on this button after you fill in your name and your zip code, and click submit, we could send out letters to targets, to the White House, to the Vice President, to the head of HHS, to the head of CDC, United Nations, et cetera, et cetera. And when 3.5 million people said, no, I'm not taking your sterilizing vaccine in 2009. Each of them clicked submit and scattered 28 letters. So 3.5 million times 28 letters in 11 days. We sent a lot of letters and barraged the would-be decision makers. Now, we had 350 million people on our list. 350,000 people. I wish we had 350 million. That was wishful thinking.
Yeah, okay.
And then one day we woke up and 70,000 of them were gone. And another day we woke up and 27,000 of them were gone because the ISPs, the internet service providers, were literally lopping off tens and dozens of thousands, 60,000 one day, of people from our list who were double opted in people and made it illegal for us to contact them. So they disappeared from our list. We disappeared from their site. And our revenue, because this is an entirely voluntary operation, Ralph and I are not paid. Ralph and I are volunteers. My husband was also a volunteer, putting our time and our effort into this effort to literally save health and health freedom on a global basis. We found that we were down to 16,000. We sent out an email recently, 18,000, and 5,000 of those were not delivered. That's more than a third of 18,000, so or just under a third. So we're talking about vicious attacks. We have to have the money. If we have the money to rent that services applications, we could do it. We know exactly how to do it.
But you still need the numbers of people to push the buttons and scatter the emails, right?
We can, but you see, it takes money to develop the mailing list. It takes money to go out into the social media with ads saying, look, if you've been pushed off this list, here's how to get back, click this link.
Okay.
We have been cut off at the wallet. And we've also been cut off at the wallet by something called Operation Choke Point, which was initiated in the Obama White House to cripple dissenters financially, personally, and in terms of their organization. We've had that lots of times and has been continued in the Trumpian White House. So if somebody says, this is important and I want to help financially, great, we have a tax-deductible entity. We will work with you. We can do it. But the reason we've been cut off at the financial kneecaps is to keep us from doing it. Obviously, we're really good at what we do. Why do you think they're trying to kill me? Why do you think General Burt was dispatched? Not because they don't like the color of our eyes, skin, or the conformation of our teeth, but because we're effective at this. We're good at what we do.
So exactly how do people support you?
Ralph, tell them where to donate.
The first step is to go to opensourcetruth.com, opensourcetruth.com. And when you go there, you will see that there are a number of really good articles. And on the right-hand side, there's a rolling link that takes you ultimately to Natural Solutions Foundation's shopping cart, nsfmarketplace.com. You can get the AVD card, the Advanced Vaccine Directive card there. You can also get access to some great nutrients and some extraordinary ebooks. What you spend there helps support the foundation.
And you can donate there.
And
you can donate. Now, if it's a large donation, and we hope it is because we need the money, and you want to make a tax-deductible donation, then you go to inhere.org, inhere.org, the Institute for Health Research.org, which is our sister organization, our 501c3 tax-exempt organization, and you make a generous donation there. Or you contact Ralph or me, and we will help you set up the funding that you want to make available or whatever it is that you want to do. We're fighting for you.
How do they contact you directly like that?
Ralph, you want to give your email again?
Sure. It's ralph.fusatola, F-U-C-E-T-O-L-A, ralph.fusatola@gmail.com. I'm happy to communicate.
Good. Sounds great.
Tell us you want to help. We're more than happy to have your help because we are fighting for our lives and our genomes and our future as humans.
And go to aboutcoronavirus.com. In the next day or so, you will see the revised and updated Agenda 21 is now Agenda 2020. And you will find that information, essential information, waiting for you there in the next 48 hours or so.
Yes.
And Dr. Rima and Richard, I have to actually get off the line at this point. So okay. I'm going to say goodbye to you all.
All right. Let's wrap it up and we'll do another installment soon.
Okay.
Okay, you guys, there goes Dr. Rima Lebo and Ralph Fusitola, JD, the attorney. They are co-trustees of the Natural Solutions Foundation and also of Institute for Health Research. It's always a pleasure to have their input during one of our shows, and this one was really valuable in my opinion. So, you know, the bottom line is they've had some experience that is unusual in 2009 that was actually helping to get the 2009 swine flu epidemic canceled so that they didn't force everybody to have injections of the latest forced vaccine without consent, which is illegal anyway, but government was going to do it, working with the World Homicide Organization and the Centers for Disease Creation and Proliferation. I want to make sure and get it correct. Working in opposition to that, you know, cartel, they were able to get millions and millions of emails sent to Congress, and the HHS director just happened to decide maybe it's not a pandemic actually, and the WHO can cancel it, and we don't have to force anybody to take these vaccines, especially since the only people dying from the pandemics were the ones actually getting the shot. So that was kind of embarrassing, and they would have done it anyway, except for the pushback that Natural Solutions Foundation organized at that time. And the point that they were making is there's no reason they couldn't do this again, or at least follow the same protocol. And the problem that they have is they don't have any money. Their mailing list was cut off, and their subscriber list and all that. So they need to get it back. They've got the basics of it back now, but to activate it and to use it, they need money. So anybody that wants to donate, go to their sites, Dr. Rima, truthreports.com, truthaboutcoronavirus.com, inhere, inhere.org. Open Source Truth is a place where we post a lot of stuff too. Open Source, SOURCE, truth.com. And stay in touch, get on their email list, keep up with what they're doing. These are people working for the benefit of humanity and to try to have a better future than the one that our rulers are planning for us to have. So I think supporting them is a great idea. That's the reason we keep having them come back on the show. In the meantime, we're going to keep having the educational shows like this as long as we possibly can. But just in case we disappear off some of these major platforms, which so far amazingly hasn't happened, probably because we're so small at this point, but eventually it could. So make sure you go and subscribe to our channel at brighteon.com, which is brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. And you'll be able to get notified of all the videos that we post on Brighteon, even if we disappear from other places. You can also go to lostartsradio.com and stay up to date on what platforms we're on. Some of them are just audio. Some of them are video. Some of them you can call in. We're still on quite a few. And we'll be able to keep you up to date if you stay in touch with the site there and get on our emailing list, which we don't use much now, but if we get cut off and we can't reach you and can't get this information out, then at least if we have some people on that list, we'll be able to send articles or embedded videos or, you know, whatever we can to you that way. And that you can just either do that at the website, lostartsradio.com, or write to info@lostartsradio.com with a name and an email address, and we can put you on the list. If you want to support what we're doing, that would be deeply appreciated. We're not doing commercials, as you've noticed. If I recommend something, it's generally because I think it's good and I have some experience with it. You know, if that company wants to donate, great, we need the money, but it's not contingent on that. It's that I only recommend things that look to me like they'll be useful for you, and I think that's the best way to do it. So as a consequence, we need money to survive and keep doing the work we're doing. And you can donate at lostartsradio.com. There's a donate button. Or at lostartsresearchinstitute.org. There's a donate button there too. That's our nonprofit. And SubscribeStar is operational at subscribestar.com/lostartsradio. Or our mailing address is on the right below the donate buttons of the two sites I mentioned first, Lost Arts Radio and Lost Arts Research Institute. Anything like that. If you have the resources, if you're struggling for survival, please don't. But if you've got the discretionary capital to do that, it would help us with our not only keeping doing what we're doing now, but expanding into the projects we've just got sitting on hold for lack of money, and we're working on that. The other thing is that if you want to get more deeply into working on all these things that we talk about, primarily on yourself, health information that is banned other places, and it's really, as Dr. Rima was telling me, it's really not allowed to talk about what works, what doesn't work, and the causes of diseases and health and things like that, even though it's been talked about for thousands of years since before recorded history. We can talk about that in our private platform, and it's information you can use in your own project to heal yourself on all levels, which I think is a prerequisite to becoming really effective in what you want to do in the world or in your life or in your family or in your job or with your kids or anything like that. That's all contingent on the level of inner work, consciousness, natural health that you get back, things like that. So we have a supportive environment at planetaryhealingclub.com where we do work on that. We don't worry about censorship at all. And it's interactive. I usually talk for the first hour or so to share some of the research information from what I've been doing for more than the last half century or so and is still ongoing. And then after that, it's all interaction, Q&A, and sharing of experiences and suggestions and all kinds of good stuff that we can't do entirely publicly because of the atmosphere of censorship. And we want a supportive environment, not one that's being attacked. So if you're up to that and you think it's worth your time, the small dues from that are charged go to the nonprofit that we have that supports all of our work. So it's really worthwhile. It's the only way that we're keeping going right now. So consider that you get much more value than the little bit that's paid in the dues. That's planetaryhealingclub.com, and I hope I get to see you there in person live. And you also get access to the recorded meetings if they're not at a time you can make. I think that's about it. Watch for the Sunday show announcements. We'll keep putting those up, and stay in touch with lostartsradio.com. The main message being, take really good care of yourself, because your ability to help other people, including your family and friends and the people at work and in society and the projects you might get involved in the outside world, all depends on getting your own health back as much as you can, getting away from all the different sources of drugs. And, it's up to your doctor, of course, to deal with that kind of question. But I'm talking about all kinds of drugs, including behavior patterns even that you use that are hurting you, that you're addicted to. And there are ways to do that. We talk about that in the club meetings and how to fix relationships based on consciousness and all kinds of interesting stuff. So if you do that, get your health back, start learning the inner work, which we haven't been told about. We talk about that openly in the club, and then apply that in your outer life. And that's what we're hoping to do, is attract not the general public, because they wouldn't relate to it at all, but the people that are ready for that and are looking for something along that line that is not a belief system or, somebody trying to start a new religion. It's actually practical tools that work that are for helping you. And if you're willing to do the work with that, it's worth it. So work on yourself, and it's the most benevolent thing you can do for everybody else and for the world situation in general, which even now is not beyond repair and reversal. So keep in good spirits and work with yourself. Stay in a good place, and stay in touch with us anytime you want. And we'll look forward to seeing you next time. Talk to you then.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sacks, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our subscribe star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has 3 weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on 2 YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest news selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editor's picks videos right on their homepage. Visit Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sacks and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at PlanetaryHealingClub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Stay tuned, because up next, you'll get to hear a really great song by an independent artist that we're doing our best to support. Go to lostartsradio.com/music for the full list of all the great songs and bands that we spin on our audio-only podcast shows. If you're in a band and want to submit a song for consideration for airplay on Lost Arts Radio, visit my website at diamonddiscaudio.com for more information about the music placement, mastering, and mixing work that I do. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.
All you want me to be perfect one. So easy to see why I push you away. With heaven inside my heart and hell in front of me, oh, I walk the endless miles to where I need to be, and it's all the same. We're holding out for change. Yeah, our world is a mess. Planets in distress. Oh, and everyone's so afraid of making mistakes. With heaven above our heads and hell below our feet, oh, I walk for countless miles to a tomb that pushes me, and it calls out my name. Oh, it's time for a change. Yeah, it's time for a change. Oh, you say I've done you wrong. Still, you wrote me this song. Now, still, you stay away. You haven't called me for days. With heaven inside my heart and hell in front of me, oh.